Well, sometimes the best stories are found by chance, and in her book Brave Deeds, Dutch-Canadian children's writer Anne Elmer writes about a family in Holland that harbored adults and children from the Nazis during the Second World War. And when she spoke with Cheryl McKay, Anne began by talking about the inspiration for the book.
France and Mies Brouwer took in a Canadian, downed Canadian airman in 1944, and Franz brought him home and said to Mies, "I can keep him, we can hide him, or I can give him to the Nazis." And Mies said, "Sit down, have a cup of tea, you know, don't ask such silly questions as to why we keep him or not." And so they started hiding Phil Pacalo, and from there they discovered that if they were hiding one person, they were going to get executed. They might as well hide more, because they could only be executed once. And so they moved out of their house in town and into a large summer home and ended up with 26 people, Jews, people hiding from the Nazis, resistant workers, and even hungry children off the streets of Rotterdam, and basically spent the war of 1944-45, which is known as the Hunger Winter in Holland, spent that winter in at Buitenhuis in the summer camp, managed to feed the children and keep everybody safe, hide them, and survive until the end of the war.
Mm-hmm. How did you come to know about this extraordinary story, Anne?
I came on it by accident, in that Mies is my neighbor, was my neighbor, and lived above the hill on an old logging road all on her own, and phoned me one day and said, "I hear you're a Dutch-Canadian. Would you like to come for a cup of tea?" So I went, and we spoke in Dutch, and of course we reminisced a lot. She was a generation older than I am, but we started talking about the good old days in Holland, you know, and little bits and pieces from the wartime came out, and I was fascinated because my mother hid Jews during the war as well, and she would never talk about it. And my father fought in Rotterdam during the war, and he would never talk about it. So I was thrilled that Mies would talk to me about the war. And then finally, when I had enough information that I knew it would be a book, I asked her, and of course she said yes, she would be thrilled to have it as a book.
What kind of a feeling did you get from Mies about how she was reflecting on this as the years went by?
She was pregnant with her fourth child, so she had three small children, the oldest being four. They had all the papers for the children given to the neighbor so that if they were executed, which they could have been at any moment had they been found out, the children would have been looked after, and that was, of course, their first priority. To look back at it, she sometimes was almost a bit in disbelief herself that she had done that. At one point, she even said, "One of the times that I felt most useful in life was when we would sit around the table and we had these 26 people and I was in charge. And sometimes I go back there in my mind and it's almost a cozy time," she would say. "We were all around the table. We were all doing the vegetables. And nowadays I don't see people doing that. I see families breaking up. And we were so together. And it was because of the war they had to be, because there was no electricity. So they had a bicycle sitting upside down, and one person would turn the pedals so that the wheel would turn, so the light would be on from the bicycle, would shine on the table. That was the only light they had. And of course it makes for a coziness. And she always would, when I visited in the evening, she would have one lamp that was on, and we would sit there in this sort of circle of light, the two of us talking. And I thought, part of her is still there. Part of her stayed with that war and how it was and how they tried to make it as cozy as possible.
How did the people find them in order to come into hiding with them?
Because Franz was the leader of the resistance movement in Oostvoorne, everybody knew, everybody who was on their side knew that Franz was doing this work, and he was not only involved in hiding people, he was making false identification cards, he was helping people steal ration cards so that they could be handed out to people like the Jews so they could have food. And so there were certain people in town who knew that Franz was this kind of a person, and for example, Phil Pacalo, when he came down in his plane, he went to another farm first. And those people were afraid to harbor him, so they sent him on along the way. And so he went to another farm, and they said, "Well, hide in the barn under the straw, and we'll contact somebody." And they knew that Franz could be contacted because he was part of the resistance. And so that's how Franz ended up getting the Canadian.
When you were hearing these stories and slowly getting the idea that you would love to be able to write about it, how did you proceed? Because you tell this story in the first person, as if in the voice of one of the children who's living there.
I had a difficult time with the story at first. I couldn't write it down, and I knew that I could only write the book if I could do it justice. I wanted to grab the reader and hold the reader so they didn't want to put the book down. And so I knew that I could only do that if I wrote it in the first person. And I was at Franz's deathbed a few years ago, and I touched his hand and I said, "Goodbye, Franz, you're my hero." And suddenly I knew how I had to write it. I had all the bits and pieces in my head. It was like a puzzle. Suddenly it just sort of all fell into place. And I rushed home and I spent most of that night writing a very rough first draft. And I knew I wanted a first person and I wanted a present tense.
How would the children, you said, who are living on the streets in the cities, how would they find their way there?
There's one amazing story, just as an example. Franz rode his bicycle into Rotterdam, which was about 30 kilometers, and the bicycle had no tires left. They couldn't buy new tires. And he would collect these children. And one amazing story that didn't make it into the book was that Franz and two other people had collected 16 children. The youngest was a few months old, and the oldest was 16. And Franz was going to take them across the bridge. They lived on an island, and the only way to their home was across this bridge, which was guarded by a Nazi. And Franz couldn't bribe this Nazi into letting the children across. He simply said no, he wasn't allowed. He tried with a bottle of wine. No, didn't work. So Franz and these other two adults took the children to a farm and bedded them in some straw and went around and tried to figure out. They weren't going to take them back to Rotterdam because these children were at death's door. They were walking skeletons. They found this man who was a policeman, supposedly, although it turned out after the war he wasn't. He'd just stolen a policeman's uniform and pretended to be one. But he had a leaky rowboat, and he'd been shot at the night before by the Nazis, but he was willing to row the children across the wide river Maas. So the kids all were loaded into the boat and the adults' bicycles as well, and everybody bailed and rowed across the Maas